The Hallmark Charlotte Greenwood Show.
Welcome now to our show. Here's a friend you all know. Charlotte Greenwood is with us now.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Charlotte Greenwood is brought to you this Sunday and every Sunday at this time by the makers of Hallmark greeting cards to remind you that every time you want to remember someone, you'll find a Hallmark card that says just what you want to say the way you want to say it. So when you choose a card, look on the back for the three identifying words, a Hallmark card. Yes, don't forget, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. And here is our star, that lovable lady of stage, screen, and radio, Charlotte Greenwood. Charlotte is bringing up the three Barton youngsters. On this particular morning, she's rediscovering the truth of the old saying, many are called, but few get up. But we find her at the foot of the stairs.
Children, breakfast. Barbara. Jack. Robert. Well, dear, and they call young people the rising generation.
All right, Aunt Charlotte, I'm coming. I'm up.
Well, I'm glad I got a rise out of somebody.
Charlotte.
Good morning, Robert. Come on, your breakfast has been ready for 10 minutes.
What are we having?
Pancakes. Pull up a chair, though, and drink your orange juice first. Did you notice whether Barbara and Jack are up?
Barbara's still dressing, but Jack's up. He's been gone a half hour. He went to put the dog out.
Must have put the dog out an awful long way.
Oh, here's Barbara.
Ah, Sir Galahad.
Who's Sir Galahad?
Quiet, Bobby. I'm rehearsing my lines for the class play. Ah, Sir Galahad. What is yon golden disc I see before me? Can it be, perchance, the rising sun?
No, milady, it's a self-rising pancake. But drink your orange juice first.
Oh, she's been talking to herself ever since she got up.
I'm not talking to myself, I'm acting.
Charlotte acted once.
Once?
She was in a movie. They say she was acting opposite Town Power.
Oh, yes, his acting was wonderful. Mine was opposite. Here's your pancake.
Who knocked? Who knocks at yon door?
I didn't hear anybody.
What dost thou here? What dost thou in this room?
I dust the furniture for Aunt Charlotte.
Will you be quiet, Bobby? I'm not talking to you.
It is Sir Galahad. Sir Galahad of King Arthur's court. Hast thou left the round table?
Why did he leave the round table?
Well, maybe he couldn't get a square meal. Quiet, Robert.
Oh, Sir Galahad. Once thou wert indisputed champion of the tournament. Thou wert invincible. Then didst thou not slay the wicked dragon?
Dragon? What's a dragon?
You never can tell with these rayon stockings.
No, what is a dragon?
It's a monster that snaps people's heads off. It's a big, ugly brute that goes around trying to scare everybody to death.
Sounds like a CPO whose father was a top sergeant. Go on, Barbara. Now, what happened to Sir Galahad?
After thou slewest the dragon,
Loot.
Then came a stranger all clad in black armor. And I would fain have a go at this black knight.
I'd like to go then, too.
Go in.
When is bank night?
Aunt Charlotte, will you please keep him quiet?
Well, Robert, better eat your breakfast. You too, Barbara.
Oh, my Galahad. Please pass me a pancake. Thou art indeed come back.
The syrup again.
I would recognize thee anywhere, covered with jam.
He must have been kind of sticky.
Bobby. Aunt Charlotte, can't you do something with him?
All right, Robert, let's both be quiet, shall we?
Okay, Aunt Charlotte.
Ah, never will I forget that night in the garden. Thou tookst me in thy arms, held me close to thee, and whispered in my ear those soft, sweet, tender words.
Where's my other sock?
Oh, Jack.
You've got it in your hand.
I mean the one that goes with it. I left them both on my chair. I'll bet you know where it is, Bobby.
I guess I'll be leaving for school, Aunt Charlotte.
Oh, no, you don't.
Now, wait a minute. Now, Robert, what is all this?
I'll tell you what it is. Bobby's dog took my sock and ran out of the house with it. I chased him clear out of sight.
He's not back yet.
It's the funniest thing I ever heard.
dog taking a sock.
And, Aunt Charlotte, look at this. I found it on the floor in the hall.
What on earth was a lace curtain doing on the floor?
Only it isn't a lace curtain. It's your blouse.
My blouse? Oh.
Very funny, isn't it?
Oh, that terrible dog. If I ever get my hands on
him. Don't you touch Flash.
Now, wait. Now, just a moment. It isn't entirely Flash's fault. Now, if you children had put your clothes away, Flash wouldn't have gotten them.
Yeah, but if something isn't done about him, he'll ruin everything that belongs to us, everything we own.
Well, you can't keep a thing just simply by owning it. You also have to be responsible for it. Ownership and responsibility go together. The person who takes care of nothing soon has nothing to take care of.
You see, it wasn't Flash's fault.
No, Robert. It was your fault.
My fault?
Yes, Flash's behavior is your responsibility. And, son, you don't ever dodge a responsibility. The thing to do is face it.
I guess it was kind of my fault, too.
Yeah, and mine, too. But just the same, Flash ought to have some manners.
If you ask me, Bobby should have some manners himself and set Flash an example.
Oh, manners are sissy.
No. Robert, now, good manners never lost a young man anything. Except maybe his seat on a bus. Come on now, let's finish our breakfast.
We need some more.
But, Robert, that's all there is of Terry and the pirate. Now, hop down off my lap and run along to bed.
Charlotte, what do you think will happen to Terry?
I think when they go around the bend of the river, there, high on the hilltop, they'll see a big stone fortress.
What's the difference between a fort and a fortress?
Well, I guess a fortress is a lady fort.
But is a lady like a fortress?
Well, dear, they're both hard to silence. Oh, there's somebody at the door.
I'll see who it is.
Oh, Robert, you're in your pajamas. Now, skippity-hop to bed. Come on. It's probably Judge Cronin and Mr. Anderson. They're coming out this evening.
Gee, can I stay at the top of the stairs and listen to you talk?
It's after 8 o'clock, Robert. Now, you should be in bed.
Oh, Aunt Charlotte, let me stay at the top of the stairs and listen to you a little while. I want to stay awake anyhow.
What?
Bothered with insomnia at your age?
What's insomnia?
It's something that keeps a lot of poor, innocent sheep jumping over a fence all night just because some person can't sleep. All right, now, up you go.
Good night, Aunt Charlotte.
Good night, dear.
Hey, hi, Miss Greenwood.
Oh, it's you, Junior. Come in.
Say, what's old man Petty's automobile doing out there at the curb?
Who's old man Petty?
What? Ain't you never heard of him? Why, he's the meanest, stingiest, worst-tempered man in the whole town.
What's he do?
Oh, got something to do with the Lakeview Bank. They say he sits on the board.
No wonder he's ill-tempered. He's probably full of splinters.
Say, you come back faster than a bad check, don't you? Here's the first half of the month's figures for the lunchroom. I added them all up for you.
Well, thank you, Junior. That must have been quite a job.
Oh, no, not for me. I got an education. Didn't I ever tell you? Why, a fella give me $1,000 once to go to college.
How much, Junior?
$100 to put me through high school.
Junior, how much?
$10 to go to grammar school.
Junior?
All right. So give me a dime for a car fare to kindergarten. But just the same, I did go to college once. Yes, I did. Our college yell was, toothbrush, toothbrush, rah, rah, rah. I went to Colgate.
Well, I went to the University of Hard Knocks, and our college yell was, ouch!
Oh, that's a pipper.
Just a second, Junior. Good evening.
Evening. I'm looking for that young Barton boy, Robert.
Oh, Robert's in bed.
Oh, then I'll wager you're Mrs. Greenwood.
Oh, don't wager too much. It isn't Mrs. Greenwood, it's Miss Greenwood.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're sorry. Is there something that I can do to help you?
Yes. My name's Petty.
Well, she can't help that.
Hey, you keep out of this. Yeah. Now, Miss Greenwood, I came here to see Robert Barton about that dog of his.
Oh, you mean Flash?
I don't know what the vicious animal's name is, but he tore up my garden this afternoon. And I'm keeping him shut up in my garage until the damage is paid for.
Oh, but you can't do that, Mr. Petty.
Huh? What can't I do?
Well, you can't keep Flash shut up in your garage. That's contrary to law.
Sure.
You can turn him over to the police or you can send him to the pound, but you can't keep him shut up.
Don't tell me what I can and can't do. That dog stays there until somebody pays for my garden.
Well, naturally, we'll compensate you for any damage Flash did. How much was it?
Well, I haven't had time to figure it out yet. If you want to pay me $25, you can get your dog back.
$25?
Why, that whole garden patch of yours ain't worth
it. I told you to keep out of this.
Mr. Petty, I'm certainly not settling for any damage until I've had a chance to inspect it. Judge Cronin, the attorney for the Barton estate, will be here shortly, and I'll talk to him about it.
Yeah, suit yourself. But you'd better talk fast if you ever want to see your dog again. Because if I don't hear from you by morning, I'm going to get rid of him.
Don't worry, I'll take care of everything. We'll have it all straightened out.
Cronin, do you realize that we've been standing here in the hall talking for 20 minutes?
Huh?
Surely you've got it all straight by now. Come on, we have to get going.
So we have. Where are my gloves?
Well, you've got them on, Judge.
Yes. Well, good night, Miss Greenwood.
Good night, Charlotte.
Good night, Mr. Anderson. Oh, Judge, are you sure now that everything will be all right about Flash?
Oh, positive. I'll see Petty first thing in the morning, and don't be alarmed. I know Petty. His bark is worse than his bite.
Yes, and he and Flash will have something in common.
That's very good, Miss Greenwood. Very good.
Oh, come on, Cronin.
Besides, Petty is exceeding his legal rights under common law. As a matter of fact, this whole situation is almost identical to the celebrated case of Long versus...
Never mind the Long versus.
No, just give us one fast course.
Well, I'd be delighted. That didn't know. No, it's the legal case. Long versus Williams. Seems Williams was riding across his farm. On his way home, he came on a duck.
He'd have made better time if he'd come on a horse.
He was riding a horse, but he observed this duck swimming in a little, rivulet.
Rivulet?
Yeah. Confidentially, Miss Greenwood, he doesn't know what a rivulet means. Fancy.
Fancy.
What is it, as the poet says, that comes down from the hills and goes on forever?
Hillbilly.
Naturally. No, rivulet is...
Oh, what's the difference? Come on, it's after 11. We've got to get going.
This is a very important case. It has a definite bearing upon Robert's dog and Mr. Petty. Now, finding a trespassing duck in a stream on his property, Williams caught it and took it home.
Come on.
But it seemed the duck belonged to one Jonathan Long, a neighboring farmer. And Long insisted on collecting.
Collecting for what?
Collecting money for the duck.
Well, what good would money do a duck? Where would he put it?
No levity. Look, now, Long took the case to court. Now, although the duck was on Williams' land, Williams had no right to it. The duck originally belonged to Long, and it still belonged to him.
Uh-huh.
And thus was established a basic legal axiom, a precedent for all time to come. An immutable principle to the effect that when you got a duck, you got a duck.
Yes,
you're right.
Well, we'd better be ducking now. Here's your hat, Cronin.
And Charlotte, where's Bobby?
Well, Barbara, what's the matter? Robert's in bed.
But he isn't. I woke up and remembered he borrowed my fountain pen and went to his room to get it, and he's gone.
He's gone? What do you mean, gone?
His window, the one under the porch roof, it's open. He's been kidnapped.
Oh, now, wait a moment.
But he isn't there. I've looked everywhere for him upstairs, and he couldn't have come down without you seeing him.
You'd better notify the police.
Oh, no, Judge, not yet. I think I know what's happened to Robert. He overheard what Mr. Petty said about his dog, and he's gone to get Flash.
Mr. Petty? Flash?
Well, never mind now. Run upstairs and wake up Jack.
Jack!
Look, if you want to phone Petty, his number is Lakeview 6300.
I will. Lakeview 6300?
My office does quite a bit of business with him.
What time was Petty here?
A little after 8 o'clock. Hello? Mr. Petty? This is Miss Greenwood. I dislike bothering you at this time of night, but has Robert been at your house? Oh? Well, did he get Flash? You what? You sent the dog to the pound to be destroyed?
Destroyed?
Oh, no.
Well, what about Robert?
Robert was there about 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock? Well, that's over 2 hours ago.
Yeah. If Robert was there at 9 o'clock, where is he now?
Special day is set apart in honor of Mother. This year, Mother's Day is Sunday, May 13th. And because no one is more deserving of our thoughtfulness than Mother, on her day especially, she deserves to be remembered with the finest of cards, the loveliest message, to tell her how much we care. Your Hallmark dealer has a wide selection of just such cards for Mother's Day. Fine cards and exquisite taste,
And among them, the Hallmark Mother's Day card that says just what you want to say, the way you want to say it. They're unusual cards suited to mothers of all ages. Gay, clever cards for young mothers, and charming cards for mothers young in heart. You'll even find cards for the mother of your sweetheart or your dearest friend. This week isn't a bit too early to make your selection to choose a lovely Hallmark card for that dearest friend of all, your mother. So go to your Hallmark dealers while his showing is still complete. Hallmark cards are on display at America's finest stores. Remember, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. And now, back to our story. Bobby Barton has learned that his dog, Flash, was locked up in Mr. Petty's garage. So Bobby sneaked out of the house to bring Flash back. But that was around 9 o'clock in the evening, and Bobby is still missing. It's now 4 o'clock in the morning, and in the hallway of the Barton home.
Hello? Hello? Oh, hello, Mr. Andrews. This is Barbara Barton. Barbara Barton. Mr. Andrews, is my brother Bobby staying at your house? No, but I thought he might have gone there and was staying with Jimmy. Well, he's been missing. All right, Mr. Andrews, there's someone at the door now, and it might be... Thank you. Who is it?
Me, Jack.
Oh. Did you...
No, nothing. I've been all over town.
I've phoned everyone I could think of. No one... Nobody. Oh, it's no use. And only this morning we were picking on him and picking on Flash.
Yeah, I know.
Why are we so mean to those we love most?
I don't know, Babs.
Now maybe they're both...
No, we'll find Bobby. Nothing's happened to him. Why should anything happen to him? Aunt Charlotte will find him now that the police are helping her.
Where is Aunt Charlotte?
She went with one of the cops in the police car. We're going to talk to Mr. Petty again.
This is Mr. Petty's house, ma'am. Here, let me take your arm. Watch the steps here.
Better ring again, officer. He's asleep.
Don't worry, ma'am. We'll get him up. You ever been in this neighborhood before?
No.
Well, there's a shortcut from here to your part of town across the railroad yards. I was just thinking...
What?
Oh, nothing.
Someone turned on the lights in the hall.
Yes.
Who's there?
Officer Nolan, the police. Open the door, please.
What are you bothering me about this time of the morning?
I'd like to talk with you, Mr. Petty.
Hmm? Oh, it's Miss Greenwood. Well, come in. I can't stand here in the doorway in this bathrobe. But if you're after that cur of yours, I told you on the phone he isn't here. And I told your nephew the same thing when I caught him prowling in my garage this evening.
Oh, now, Mr. Petty, the kid wasn't prowling. He was only looking for his dog.
A court of law might take a different view of it. That happens to be trespassing.
Mr. Petty, I don't know whether you have any boys.
I have not.
Anyway, you were a boy once. I wonder if you can remember it.
I'm afraid I don't get your point.
I was thinking perhaps you had a dog. Remember how he'd come bounding up the street to meet you after school? Remember the fun you had?
Well, I...
When you were happy, so was he. When things went wrong, he'd come up to you and... Somehow he'd let you know, in spite of everything, that he was for you.
It's unfortunate, Miss Greenwood, but the animal did destroy my property. And although I didn't tell Robert, by this time, well, you can stop looking for the dog.
Yes, I know.
Mr. Petty, we're looking for the boy.
The boy? Why, he hasn't been here since around 9 o'clock.
Isn't he at home? Well, not unless they've located him in the past 5 minutes. According to the last radio report we heard in the car, they were still searching.
Well, all I can tell you is I caught him in the garage and gave him a good talking to. Then he ran.
Which way did he go? Did you notice?
Why, yes. He ran down Embankment Avenue.
I see. That's right at the edge of the railroad yard. Well, thanks. Good night.
Good night, Mr. Petty.
We'd better take a ride up toward Embankment Avenue, Miss Greenwood. Or maybe you'd rather not.
Robert wouldn't take that shortcut through the railroad yards. I've warned him too often.
I'm not so sure about that now. Supposing the boy saw a dog. A dog he thought might be Flash. Saw him running across the track. Now you know where he'd go.
Well, that's true, Mr. Nolan. Children do forget everything except what they're after. But wait. I do know where Robert would go.
Hmm?
Oh, why didn't that occur to me before? I'm certain I know right where to find him.
Car, ma'am. I'll have to get going. I'll leave you here at your house, ma'am. I'll have to get over to the freight cars.
Oh, you won't find him there. I know he's right here at home, hiding under the back porch. I'm certain of it.
Well, only why should he be hiding there all the time?
Because that's where Flash used to sleep. And that's where Robert would wait for Flash to come back.
Well, I hope you're right. I'll drop around this way after I've reported to the yard superintendent.
Thank you, Mr. Nolan. Robert? Robert? Robert, you better come out now.
All right, Aunt Charlotte. I'm coming.
Why have you been hiding here?
I thought you'd be mad at me for sneaking out of the house. And I've been waiting for Flash.
And you've been here ever since you came from Mr. Petty's?
Yes, and Flash wasn't in Mr. Petty's garage. Why doesn't Flash come home, Aunt Charlotte? Why doesn't he come back?
Robert, you remember what I was telling you this morning about being brave enough to face responsibility?
Yes.
Well, the biggest responsibility you have or that anyone has is just everyday living, what people call life. And as smart as we think we are, we have much to learn, even grown-ups. Things happen, things for which there seem to be no reason, no justification. Cruel and unpleasant things. But just the same, we've got to meet them squarely and bravely. And the way we meet them is our part in life.
You mean you don't think Flash is ever coming back? Not ever?
I mean, Robert, this is your opportunity to be brave. Come along, son. Let's go in the house now.
He hasn't cried. He hasn't even said anything, even mentioned Flash. I don't believe he realized.
I'm sure he does realize.
Shh, here he is. I'm ready for bed now.
All right, dear. Barbara, please warm some milk, will you, and bring it upstairs?
I'll take care of it, Aunt Charlotte.
Sleep as long as you can, Robert, and we won't bother about school tomorrow.
Miss Greenwood, it's Mr. Petty.
Oh, just a moment.
Miss Greenwood. Oh, thank heavens he's safe.
Yes, thank heaven.
I got to thinking about those railroad tracks. I phoned you, but...
We just came in.
I've been responsible for all this. Is he all right?
Oh, I think so.
I didn't stop to realize what a dog means to a boy. I'd forgotten how I felt when I was his age.
It's a good thing to remember, Mr. Petty. It's a good thing for all of us to remember.
Well, if there's anything that I can do, I'll buy him a dog. Would you like to have a bull pup, Bobby? Huh? Wouldn't you? I used to have a bull pup when I was a boy. Well, would you like another dog like Flash?
There couldn't be another dog like Flash. I'll go upstairs now, Aunt Charlotte.
Wait a moment, dear. I think this is Mr. Nolan.
Miss Greenwood, look.
Oh, it's Flash.
Flash!
please. We finally found him, Miss Greenwood.
Yes, we got him out of the pond.
Oh, Flash. Oh, no. I knew you'd come back. I knew all the time you would. Because you're my responsibility. You're the dog I was especially meant to take care of and teach manners and things. And set a good example. I guess we better start now by not running away anymore. Oh, gee. Aunt Charlotte.
Yes?
Will you hold Flash a minute?
Why, of course, dear.
I just want to stand here and look at him.
Cronin, close that door, can't you? It's getting cold in here.
Hmm? Oh, the door. Why, I declare. It's beginning to get daylight. Yes, it's the dawn. Look at that beautiful red glow on Maple Hill over there.
Gee, Aunt Short, it's the first time I've ever seen that.
Yes, Robert, I think some of the rest of us are seeing things for the first time, too.
Yes.
Miss Greenwood!
Hey, it's a cop. He's coming in here.
Officer Nolan. Oh, dear. Bacon. What am I going to do about my bacon?
Policeman. Bacon. Miss Greenwood. Can this mean you've been buying bacon on the black market?
Oh, don't be silly, Judge. I was just wondering if I had enough bacon to go around to get breakfast for this gang.
Greenwood will be back in a moment. Meanwhile, I want to remind you again, the next time you buy a card for any occasion, look on the back for the identifying words, a Hallmark card. H-A-L-L-M-A-R-K. A Hallmark card. Like sterling on silver, those three words are your assurance of finest quality. They tell your friends you cared enough to send the very best. Yes? A Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. And now, Charlotte Greenwood.
Friend, I wonder if you've stopped to think when neighbors share a car, they do much more than make their gas go many times as far. They do much more than saving tires and lessening wear and tear. For as they ride, they're making friends of those with whom they share. Yes, every time you share a ride to work or school or store, the gas that's saved counts up. And yet the friendships made count more. So join that carpool club today and find out what I mean. That friendly smiles go longer miles than any gasoline. Until next Sunday, at this very same time, when we broadcast from the Hollywood Canteen, this is Charlotte Greenwood saying,
so long, friends, until we meet again. So long, neighbor, till next Sunday, I'm just saying, so long.
So long.
Broadcast from the famous Hollywood Canteen next Sunday. The Hallmark Charlotte Greenwood Show, written by Jack Casey and D.H. Johnson. John Brown, Charles Cantor, and Edward Ryan, who appeared through the courtesy of 20th Century Fox, came to you from Hollywood. This is Wendell Niles speaking.
Just a moment, over most of these stations, you'll hear radio's Hall of Fame, starring the airwaves' most famous celebrities. This is the Blue Network of the American Broadcasting Company.
3 o'clock at KECA, Los Angeles.